From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Governments around the world are investigating whether any of their citizens may have set up offshore bank accounts to hide assets and possibly evade taxes. It's among the first reactions to the release Sunday of millions of leaked documents from a Panamanian law firm by a consortium of journalists. Russia denounced the disclosures from the Mossack Fonseca law firm after it was revealed associates of President Vladimir Putin allegedly funneled nearly $2 billion through offshore accounts. Iceland's prime minister is under pressure to resign after the document showed he and his wife bought an offshore company in the British Virgin Islands in 2007. Will Fitzgibbons is with the Washington-based International Consortium of Investigative Journalists at the center of the leak.
We have the largest ever leak of information to journalists that shows how the wealthy and the politically connected are able to operate for legitimate and sometimes illegitimate reasons.
An anonymous source provided the documents involving more than 200,000 companies and over 14,000 clients of the law firm to a German newspaper and the journalist consortium. The law firm denied breaking any laws. A nephew of South Africa's President Jacob Zuma and the son of Ghana's former president John Kufuor are among those named in the document release. Kulubusa Zuma was authorized to represent an offshore company that acquired oil fields in Democratic Republic of Congo, while John Addo Kufuor is said to have controlled a $75,000 bank account in Panama. Meanwhile, VOA's Zimbabwe service says Zimbabwe's leading platinum mining firm, Zimplats Holdings, may have used an offshore company to pay management salaries without the knowledge of the country's central bank and in violation of exchange control laws. This is VOA News. The United States says it has no plans to give Iran access to the U.S. financial system in any dollar-denominated transactions between Iran and businesses in other countries. U.S. spokesman Mark Toner Monday said despite last year's nuclear deal with Tehran, certain sanctions remain in place over Iran's other activities.
As we negotiated this agreement, we also retained the ability to apply sanctions, continue to apply sanctions, and recognize the fact that we're under no illusions that Iran is going to change its behavior in other fields, such as some of its nefarious actions in the region via Hezbollah and other involvement in Syria elsewhere, but also its testing of ballistic missiles.
Last week, President Obama said businesses that want to use dollars in transactions with Iran could do so through European banks. Under current sanctions, Iran is barred from any direct dealings with U.S. banks and investment houses. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry spoke with his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, by phone Monday on efforts to facilitate a ceasefire between Armenia and Azerbaijan in the escalating Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. Mr. Lavrov expressed concern over the fighting, urging a resumption of a ceasefire and a peaceful resolution of the conflict. Azerbaijan says three of its soldiers were killed Monday as fighting raged for a third day over the separatist region, with Armenia warning the situation could escalate into a full-scale war. The first group of Syrian refugees sent to Turkey under a controversial program have arrived in Europe. The asylum seekers arrived in the northern German city Hanover Monday. Another 16 were expected to arrive shortly afterwards. Meanwhile, deported migrants were transported to Turkey from the Greek island of Lesbos, marking the beginning of a controversial plan to stem illegal migration to Europe. Under the deal between the European Union and Ankara, those who reached Greece after March 20 would be returned to Turkey unless they qualify for asylum. For every Syrian refugee returned to Turkey from Greece, another would be resettled from Turkey to Europe. The U.S. Defense Department Monday confirmed a senior al-Shabaab leader was targeted in a U.S. drone strike in Somalia. Pentagon spokesman Peter Cook identified the victim as Hassan al-Dur, and the strike was conducted March 31st.
In addition to being part of al-Qaeda, Hassan al-Dur was a member of al-Shabaab's security and intelligence wing, was heavily involved in high-profile attack planning in Mogadishu. He had planned and overseen attacks resulting in the death of at least three U.S. citizens.
The strike against Dur comes less than a month after a U.S. aircraft struck an al-Shabaab training camp, killing dozens. The Nigerian military says it's arrested the leader of the Islamist group Ansaru, a breakaway faction of Boko Haram. A defense spokesman said Khalid al-Barnawi, wanted along with two other Nigerians as global terrorists by the U.S., was arrested in the central city of Lokoja Friday. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.